Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The main character of Apple TV Plus's latest original scripted series takes a big plunge out with homeschooling, in with middle school. It's a matter of putting his best foot forward. Developer Matt Fleckenstein joins me next. Also ahead, new WWE leaders, No More Full Frontal, our classic trivia answer, and question time. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. I present on Spotify, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google and Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and other podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two if you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. 81 degrees at the top of the hour. We may be getting a second round of thunderstorms as we speak. First round was around noontime today and is bringing the seven-day heat wave in our tri-state area and elsewhere up and down the East Coast to a close, hopefully for some time to come. This, by the way, is the start of our final week of year 15 of the program All About TV's Current and Future. 3 episodes this week, 3 episodes next as well to kick us into year 16. And we're delighted again that you are along. Wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour. We invite you to be part of the program. Very simple. Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway you're catching across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Chat room is open for you as well. It's SimonApple04, and you will find that chat room on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Matt Fleckenstein from Apple TV's new sitcom, Best Foot Forward, joins us live from L.A. after these news notes. It didn't take long for WWE to enact new leadership. Stephanie McMahon, the daughter of retired WWE overseer Vince McMahon, and company president Nick Khan were elevated to co-chief executive officers this morning. However, their new roles come with the disclosure through a regulatory filing that Vince McMahon did pay $14.6 million in unrecorded expenses from 2006 through this year. WWE's board of directors is investigating allegations that the millions McMahon paid in severance packages to former female employees were related to alleged sexual relationships. At this moment, we do not know whether McMahon or Khan or both will be appearing tonight on Monday Night Raw, the WWE's latest TV presentation, at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on USA Network. The latest budget-cutting move by Warner Bros. Discovery, dropping Full Frontal with Samantha Bee from TBS's lineup after 7 seasons. Bee's program had its latest season finale last month and will not get a special final wrap-up or retrospective episode. Warner Bros. Discovery is in the midst of chopping $3 billion off its operating expenses over the next few years. Now some quickies. Atwater Capital is expanding its investment in WIP, that's WIIP, the production company led by former ABC and ABC Family executive Paul Lee, who has been in this program before. WIP's latest enterprise is Amazon's The Summer I Turned Pretty series, which began last month and has already been renewed for a second season. Mayans MC co-creator Elgin James has a new multi-year series development deal with Disney TV Studios Division 20th Television. National Geographic enters the barbecue TV universe tonight with World of Flavor, hosted by champion pitmaster Big Mo Kaysen. The objective? Roam the globe to explore grilled food from conch to gator meat. And Paul Sorvino, the multimedia actor whose TV credits include star or co-star roles on Law & Order, Will Get By, and Bert D'Angelo's Superstar, passed away earlier today of natural causes. He was 83. People in New York also know him for his great theatrical work all over the place, including his great role as the coach in that champion season. He recreated that role in the movie version based on Jason Miller's award-winning play. And also, of course, he was one of the key characters of Martin Scorsese's classic film, Goodfellas. Once again, Paul Sorvino, dead at the age of 83 of natural causes. And that is news notes for today. Some time back, a book came out called Just Don't Fall. It's by a man named Josh Sundquist. He's a real-life Paralympic athlete. He's an author, a motivational speaker, and comedian. And now that book has been translated into Apple TV's Plus latest original series, scripted series, called Best Foot Forward. It premiered this past Friday. And joining us live from Los Angeles to talk about it is the developer of the series. He's best known for his work on such shows as Nickelodeon's iCarly and Nicky Ricky Dicky and Dawn. We're delighted to welcome to the program Matt Fleckenstein. Matt, welcome in.
Hey, Simon. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It is a pleasure. Matt, how did you get involved with this very unique project?
So I became involved in the project. So as you mentioned, Josh wrote several books, and a production company, Muse USA, optioned those books. And the executives there, Joel Rice and Megan Mathis Jacobs, they love Josh's story. They really wanted to tell a story about, a story with a different lead character. And Joel had personally worked a lot in the disability community. So for them, it was a great fit. And, you know, as this process typically goes, they reached out to my agent and just kind of set a general meeting to, you know, introduce ourselves and talk about the project. And for me, you know, I had done, like the shows you mentioned, I've done so much, a lot of Nickelodeon Disney shows, which are great, you know, iCarly, Victorious, Drake and Josh, Dog with a Blog, you know, great, fun, really love, you know, telling good stories and entertaining the audience, and those shows have all done that very well. You know, for me, I wanted to, at that time in my career, kind of dive into something that would do that but also had something a little bit more behind it. So it was serendipitous timing where Muse wanted to develop a show based on these books, and I was excited. You know, I'd known Josh's work a little bit and read the book and just thought his story was great because it was so universal, and that's the thing that really makes his story and our show incredibly impactful. I think it was a longer answer than you were looking for.
Yeah. Loud and clear. What was the tone that you and the rest of your production team wanted to set for this series? Because for those who don't know, this is a series about a boy who is making a very important decision in his life to go from being homeschooled to being in public or middle school. And we should point out that the main character has a prosthetic leg. That is why the title Best Foot Forward comes in play.
Correct. Yeah, so look, the tone we wanted to set was this. I mean, you know, I think there are a lot of people who will look at the show and think, you know, there's a kid with a prosthetic leg, you know, and people who don't have a prosthetic leg or any sort of, you know, aren't members of the disability community, I think at first look will think that they have nothing in common with this character. But our goal was to show that he is a kid like any other kid, going through middle school, going through that incredibly tumultuous time of his life. He also just happened to have a prosthetic leg. So that philosophically was how we all approached the show, right? We're telling the show about a lead character who's growing up. And his unique lens on that, which, you know, how many countless shows before have done that? We just, you know, have a unique lens that hasn't been done before as far as we've seen in TV, particularly in this demographic. So we just wanted to approach it like any family comedy, show the trials, the tribulations, the drama, the struggle, but also the comedy of growing up. And, you know, as it turns out, as I found reading Josh's book, there's so many unique and funny things that, you know, that happened with the kid who's growing up with a prosthetic leg, because at the end of the day, you know, he's a 12, 13, 14-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the search to find the person who plays the character.
So Logan Marmino plays Josh on the series. We obviously knew, you know, to tell an authentic story, we needed to find a kid who was living with a prosthetic leg. So we did actually global search. So Josh posted on his social media, our casting directors, Amber Horn and Danielle Alfiero, who cast my series, Nicky, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn, that you mentioned. They're just tremendous, have a tremendous network of talent they found. So we put announcements out literally around the world and, you know, found a great crop of kids. Logan had never acted before, had never thought about acting before, but followed Josh's social media. And just on a whim, he and his mom decided, hey, you know, maybe I'll send an audition tape. And we met with him and then worked with him. And every time, I mean, he just, his great personality is very, just magnetic. You really want to watch him. He's just a nice, good kid, you know, very much personality like the character Josh. And as we worked with him as an actor, he just kept getting better and better. And I mean, almost instantly, he was the front runner for the job. And he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Matt Finkelstein. He is the developer of Apple TV Plus's latest original scripted series that premiered this past Friday, Best Foot Forward. Apple TV Plus, of course, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Apple TV. Matt joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy to have you with us wherever you are on this Monday afternoon. Simon Atbaum with you live from New York, 81 degrees at the top of the hour. Yes, you may be hearing some rumbling behind me. We are supposed to get another round of thunderstorms that are taking the heat wave out of existence here in the New York metro area. If you have a question or comment for Matt, just take the phone and make it work for you. 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As I mentioned, this is the first of three episodes we are doing this week as we wrap up our 15th year on the air. And we'll have another three-episode week for you next week. And we'll say more about that, our big kickoff of that, which is the 1 week from today. We'll say about that later on in the half hour. But coming your way on our next episode, Wednesday afternoon, this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, we'll introduce you to a new network that some people are calling the Netflix for African Americans. It's called Black Oak Television. You'll meet the founder, Uzo Umetu. And then INSP's got a series that is now in its second season this week. It's called Wild West Chronicles. You might call it the new contemporary Death Valley days with some interesting twists. Executive producer Jerry Trupmanian will be with us. That's coming your way Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Matt, once you got your lead and you got the rest of the cast, and how did the production go? Because I know a lot of people, particularly I know an organization called Respectability that we've had on this program a number of times, which has been very instrumental in encouraging the entertainment industry to bring the disabled in front and behind the camera, in TV, in film, and so forth. How did the team come about to make the show happen?
So the team, you know, I'll say this, that Apple was just an incredible partner. Our direct executive, Diana Lau, but also Christina Reynolds and then Tara Sorensen, who heads up the Kids and Family Division. I mean, we were all aligned on the same page of, I guess, walking the walk, you know, the best way to put it. You know, I've been involved with a lot of productions where people say they want to, you know, create some meaningful change or really bring in new voices and new perspectives, but don't actually put in the legwork to make it happen. And Josh, I know, reached out to Respectability very early on because our goal was to have an eye toward finding people at all levels in front of and behind the camera who were incredibly talented, who also lived with a disability, people who typically – you know, might not get called for interviews because people could see that, you know, see their disability potentially as a negative or a disadvantage. So Respectability was incredibly key in helping us just find people. I know Josh mentioned he did an interview with the New York Times that I think just came out in print today, but really talked about, you know, when you reach out to most of the creative unions, you know, they don't really track which members of theirs, you know, live with a disability. So, you know, it certainly took a lot of digging and a little bit of work, but, you know, it started from day one. And one of the key pieces was bringing on this woman, Kaya Amara, who is our production accessibility coordinator. So she was there with us as we were building our crew, helping find people, but also helping to think about things like making sure the doorways on sets were wide enough so that someone who uses a wheelchair could fit through and things like that. So, it was very much an all-hands-on-deck team process.
Mm-hmm. Did the writing team do any research about what it's like for people in the lead character's position or in Josh's position to be in school, to deal with school issues or personal issues that all kids face? And I'm wondering if they also knew people who were disabled and that they, when they wrote scripts along with you, factored that in, those reminiscences into the storylines.
I'll answer that with answering your first question again. I mean, about 50% of our writing staff are people who live with disabilities. One who uses a wheelchair, so had very specific examples of what it was like to be in school, to go through middle school, living with disabilities. So it was, for me, just invaluable. And also, you know, again, I mean, when I put a staff together, I always want to put together a team of people who have different experiences and perspectives that I have, you know, whether that means different age range, they grew up a different part of the country, et cetera. So for this show, we obviously wanted to very much have, you know, writers and voices in that room who lived this experience. That's the only way you're going to tell the most authentic and best story. And unsurprisingly, you know, informs so much of what Josh and also the people around him experienced in the series.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, I understand from Respectability that at least 5 or 6 of their alumni who had worked on other productions, both film and television, are involved in the show, either in front of the camera or behind the camera. And incidentally, you're right, the New York Times story did come out today, came out this morning, so do check it out. And we'll, by the way, again, at the end of the show, we'll let people know again where they can find that story that, again, came out in the New York Times this morning, which is, of course, on their website, also available all over the place on the web. What has been the reaction so far from – have you heard from people in the disabled community, disabled activists? Are they, what are they saying to you so far? I know the show has only been out now for about 3-4 days. What are they saying?
The response has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, just some comments, people just saying, you know, they're happy to see someone who looks and feels like them on the screen, happy to see that we didn't just tell, you know, an inspirational story. We told the story of a real kid, a kid who, you know, gets into trouble and does all the things that kids should and shouldn't do, who just happens to have a prosthetic leg. So the feedback response so far has been, it's been fantastic. It's great to see. And, you know, our ultimate goal was to, again, you know, tell good stories, make a good show, but you have some positive impact in that way. And you know, the things that we've seen through social media and also received from Apple, even globally, have all been incredibly positive. So it's encouraging. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Did the coronavirus pandemic play any role at all in how you were able to produce the season?
12,000,000%. Absolutely. I mean, initially we were expecting to get a pickup to start casting and everything in July of 2020. So it delayed us initially by a year. And then production, yeah, people had to be siloed. We all had masks and other precautions on. We tested 2 to 3 days a week. It definitely had an impact. You know, I guess we had the benefit of part of why we got delayed is Apple didn't want one of their first shows back to be a kids and family show. They wanted to kind of figure some things out. And they did a very good job of that. And most of my production crew, including my line producer, Deb Spidell, had worked all through COVID. So there were a lot of great lessons learned that people brought to the set to make it as frictionless as possible and still, you know, make it as cohesive and collaborative as an experience. But, yeah, it certainly was a thing.
We're hearing Matt Stein. He is the developer of the new Apple TV comedy series Best Foot Forward, and the title character or the character of the series is played by Logan Marmino. And we have Matt with us for a few more minutes this half hour here on Smart Beat Televised live from L.A. Tom Alvin with you from the other side of the U.S. of A., Nueva York. If you question or comment on many minutes with Matt, don't be shy. Put your voice down. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. And yes, we are getting some thunder showers and downpours of rain as we speak. You're not hearing anything crazy. That's the thunder showers that I was talking about earlier on that are bringing our 7-day heat wave here in the New York metro area and other parts up and down the East Coast to a well-deserved close. And we understand that the weather for the rest of the week is supposed to be low to mid upper 80s, far less humid, and hopefully low risk of thunder showers from now until at least the end of this coming weekend. And 1 week from today on Smart Beat Televised, we will mark our 15th anniversary with a very special 2-hour edition. It'll be from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2 p.m. Pacific. And each hour, we will have a key television executive as our sole guest with only one commercial promotional break at the bottom of the hour. In hour number one, we have a very rare interview with a very special executive, the executive vice president, head of programming at Lifetime Television, Amy Winter. She rarely does interviews, print or television or radio, whatever, and we're delighted to have her with us for hour number one. And in hour number two, we'll have the general manager of the fast-rising mega content service Topic, Ryan Chinatry. That's coming your way 1 week from today, 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to Pacific. Tell your friends to tune in. Our 50th anniversary celebration right here exclusively on Tomorrow will be televised. Matt, when you decided to be involved in television, did you think you were going to have your career turn out this way, where you seem to have grown a big niche in terms of children's or kid vid and family live action comedy?
No, the short answer. When I moved out here, my dream job was to write for Family Guy. And I was lucky enough to – I got a production assistant job, was able to move up the ladder there, and ended up ultimately writing two episodes. But I was still employed full-time as a script coordinator there, and my wife and I had our first child. And I had an opportunity for a full-time writing job on a Nickelodeon show called Drake and Josh. And took that job, and, you know, Nickelodeon just proved to be – and particularly, you know, that camp proved to be just incredibly steady steady gig as a writer. Friends who were out of jobs routinely, I was just working for 3, 4, 5 years essentially in a row. So what became steady job, as my wife and I had more kids, and we have 5 children, as they got older, it just became awesome. You know, like working on shows that they watched, and a very friendly environment to bring them to set and put them in background, that kind of stuff. So you know, it just became something that worked very well, and something for me that, movies or TV shows that we all really love throughout our lives are things we watched when we were younger. And it's always upsetting to me that there's so much content for kids that's frankly just not that good. And I've worked with people throughout the years who, you know, they kind of say kids' TV has got a pejorative connotation, and, you know, they'll pitch a joke or something that literally is 50 years old. You've heard 1,000 times, and they'll say, nah, well, 8-year-olds haven't heard it. And to me, that was upsetting. So I always wanted to, I guess, got this new mission to create content for kids and, you know, for families across the board that was good and was better quality and meaningful, and, you know, things that stuck with people, whether they were jokes or bits or emotional threads. So it just – everything just kind of very fluidly came together to this point where – I mean, honestly, with Best Foot Forward, everything really, you know, after my 22 years in this industry, really coalesced into something that we could tell a story for the whole family. There's meaningful things for the parents. Again, as a parent, there's a lot of things I want to talk about, a lot of things to talk about from the kids' perspective, and, you know, tell something that – gets a little deep, gets a little emotional, but hopefully people have a bigger connection with.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the input that Victor Neal Jr., the director of the first few episodes, had in, along with you, framing the way Best Foot Forward went.
Victor Nelly, he was invaluable. And I had not met Victor before the show. He just kind of came up as an option to come in. And, I mean, I was honestly intimidated by his resume. I mean, if you look at his resume, he's directed just about everything, particularly every comedy in television, Superstore, Wonder Years, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And Victor, from day one, from second one, was incredibly collaborative and brought such experience and perspective that he and our DP, Carlos Gonzalez, were very instrumental in helping to create and shape the look and the feel of the show. Because we all wanted to make something that, again, looked elevated, that would, you know, fit better, you know, let's say on alongside an ABC Family sitcom as opposed to a Nickelodeon or Disney show. So, Victor is a great collaborator. We've become friends out of the process, and someone that I very much hope I get to work with again.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are getting to know Apple TV Plus as a provider of quality adult shows, whether the shows are For All Mankind or Schmigadoon or The Morning Show or Severance, which has got multiple Emmy nominations, Ted Lasso, and so on and so forth. But one thing I think that they are now becoming more known for, particularly over the last year, is a great reputation for family-friendly shows and children's shows, whether it is Fraggle Rock, whose executive producer was on our program earlier this year, The Snoopy Show, Central Park, a number of other shows that are family-friendly and can be seen by anybody, and they can have a good time with it.
I agree, and that's why, you know, for me, I was thrilled to make this show with Apple, knowing that, you know, I could tell stories and have moments that were meaningful for the adults in the show, for the parents. Something that, I mean, you know, my wife and I, as any parent listening knows, there's so much stuff that your children want to watch that, you know, as a parent you don't like, maybe can't stand, and they don't get to watch. But when you find that thing that parents and kids want to watch equally, you can sit down and not just watch something together, but enjoy something together and each take something meaningful away from the show. Like, to me, that's the sweet spot. That's perfection. So Apple very much encouraged that. And I, to what you're saying, 100% agree. They have established themselves as a place of distinction, a place of quality, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of that.
Before you go, how do you and Josh and everybody involved with Best Foot Forward, if you get a second season and beyond, where do you want to take the show? What directions do you want to go in?
So we very much have a season two thought out, and you know, what for Josh's our main character Josh's, we always have to say real Josh, TV Josh. So for TV Josh, character Josh, we want to explore in season two, on top of, you know, just continuing to grow up and going through all those universal stories, that those universal things that we all go through. What's interesting in season one is we hear, particularly from Maggie, Josh's mom, that, you know, so much of Josh's life, she and he have been saying, look, there's nothing different about me. Yeah, I have a prosthetic leg, but yeah, I can still do this, I can still do that. Please include me in your activity. And that's been great for Josh, very meaningful in his development at this point in his life. But what's interesting about that is it also inherently means that Josh has kind of ignored embracing himself as a member of the disability community. So that's the story that we want to tell in season two, where Josh, he meets this group in the disabled community and really starts to see himself as a part of that group and how that is, you know, part of who he is. So instead of ignoring it, embracing it. And I'm, you know, we're particularly excited to dive into that for Josh.
Best Foot Forward, the latest original scripted series on Apple TV Plus, now available through smart TV sets, smart TV devices, including Apple TV, available all over the place. And if you want to know more about the series, here's where you go online, tv.apple.com. That's tv.apple.com. Best Foot Forward, now in season one on Apple TV Plus. Matt Beckenstein, thank you very much again for being on the program. Congratulations to you and your entire crew for making the show happen. Congratulations also to Respectability for the role they had in making the show go. And let's hope that this season is the beginning of many, many more for this program, not only for your program, but for many other TV series that feature the disabled both in front of and behind the camera.
Simon, thank you so much. And look, congratulations to you on 15 years. That's unbelievably impressive. So congrats. I hope among all the work you have to do that you're able to enjoy that milestone.
Thank you so much, Matt. A pleasure. And thank you all for the great acknowledgement.
Thank you.
I really deeply appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Enjoy the week. Have a great one. Matt Fleckenstein, the developer of Best Foot Forward on Apple TV Plus, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, the answer to the classic trivia question we posed in the last 2 weeks, and we'll also do a little segment called Question Time, where I'll answer some of the common questions people have been getting to me about how this show works as we wrap up year 15 and plunge next week into year 16. We'll get to all of that after we pause. Oh, one other thing, too. We'll also get into an incredible musical moment, a transcendent musical moment that took place last night that I hope somebody will turn into a television special somewhere. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tomorrow night, check out the unique podcast, American Sports History. It gives you the historical look at some of the best sports around and the athletes that made it happen. American Sports History, a BTR exclusive tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, BTR comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be televised, the first of our triple header week of episodes this week, the first of two this week and next. Tommy Abbott with you live from New York. It is 81 degrees at the bottom of the hour. The thunderstorms we just had in the last few minutes have stopped. Rain is still coming down. The heat wave we've had over the last 7 days here in the New York metro area and elsewhere up and down the East Coast coming to an end. And as I speak, Another thunderstorm rumble just pops in. Can't fool Mother or Father Nature. What can we say? Anyway, we have some more things to do for you in the half hour ahead, and we invite you to give us a call about them, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up next, the answer to the classic trivia question we posed over the last 2 weeks. Before we do that, let's get to something from our sponsor, Audible.com. When you get the role of a lifetime, any kind of role in that vein, how do you handle it? Well, Colleen Hoover's got a very interesting novel that deals with Verity and how that person deals with getting the opportunity of a lifetime, both the positive and the negative. That's Verity by Colleen Hoover. That's Colleen Hoover. And you can get it right now as part of your one-month trial to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, as well as our podcast affiliates, and everybody that's tuning in on our website. That's tomorrow be televised on podium.com. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audio book, a one-month trial of audible.com, great customer service from the parent, amazon.com, while supply lasts, very important health and wellness information. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you're in luck in two ways. One, you get two books for your trial. One of those books from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio series and podcast productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great one-woman and one-man shows, and so much more. Plus, if you decide to subscribe after your one-month trial, for a limited time only, you get your first 3 months, that's your first 3 months, absolutely free. How great is that? And it makes a great gift for you or someone you love. So for all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia answer. Nobody got it over the last 2 weeks. Let's give you the question, and then we'll give you the answer. The question, on the 1960s TV series Batman, we're talking that live-action classic with Adam West and Burt Ward, what villain was played at various times by George Sanders, Eli Wallach, and the celebrated controversial film director Otto Preminger? The answer, Mr. Freeze. That's right, that cold-hearted, cold-everything villain. And again, he was played at various times over the two-year-or-so run of Batman on ABC, first by George Sanders, I believe Otto Preminger was second, and Eli Wallach was third. So that's the answer that we were looking for in the last 2 weeks. Mr. Freeze was that villain on Batman that was played by three different actors. Well, nobody got it, so we're going to put the three prizes that we had in play. They're going to still be available for our next classic trivia question. One is the Nickelodeon Loud House Christmas card set. Another by Paul Friedman, his best-selling novel that may become a TV series down the road, The Unexpected Danny Green. And the wonderful book by Dan Harari, who was on our show a couple weeks ago to talk about that book. He's a great classic PR guru, and the book is called Flirting with Fame. So those three prizes are going to stay in play, and we're going to have a new classic trivia question for you on our special episode Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. So check out the classic trivia question on Wednesday. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, where you're emailing, and if you're a previous winner, sorry, you're not eligible. You've already won. Let somebody else do it. But tell a friend, though, that person might win. So remember, that's what you do. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Listen to the question, the new question on Wednesday afternoon. Then get your email in, and if you're first in it with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by end of day Wednesday, we will post the question Thursday morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWET. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWET. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. And now we're going to do a little feature that I thought about doing the last couple of weeks, given the fact that we are about to wrap up our 15th year on the air. And again, thank you, Matt, for the wonderful acknowledgement. And starting year 16, 1 week from today, with our big two-hour celebration with Amy Winter from Lifetime and Ryan Chinapsky from Topic. And I thought, well, why not, for the first time, answer some common questions that I get from time to time about how this show happened? So we're going to do this little segment now called Question Time. And incidentally, if you'd like to submit a question right now, do it in the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. And if I get your question in the next few minutes, I'll be very happy to answer it. And, of course, the topic is something about the nature of our show, how we put it together, and all that kind of thing. One of the common questions that I get often is, how do you get your guests? We have had, in the nearly 15 years we've been on the air, we have had something like 1,200, 1,300 guests. And we've had people who have turned out to be giants in the world of television series creation and production. We've had television network executives. We've had entrepreneurs launching all sorts of new ventures, programming, technology, and so forth. We have tech executives from some of the major smart TV sets, smart TV device makers like Samsung and Vizio and LG. We've had journalists covering the industry, either for trade press or consumer press or major newspapers or podcast sites. So we've had a great variety of guests. And as I said, people have wondered, how do you get your guests? Well, you do a lot of searching. First of all, every day I get email from public relations people at the various networks, programming services, technology companies. So that's one way we see, like, what new shows are coming up, what new services are going to be premiering on smart sets and devices, what interactive ventures are going to be happening and when. And so I use that information to get back to the people who send me it, usually the public relations officials or executives from those companies, and start the rolling on trying to get the guests involved on this program. Another way is that I check out the trades on the web. Every major Hollywood or major industry trade magazine or trade journal that's online dealing with the entertainment scene, especially television, I check. The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, The Wrap, Deadline Hollywood Daily. I also check in with some of the technology websites like CNET.com, formerly News.com, Recode and Gadget, places like that. Also, I check out individual websites of various companies like Paramount, Warner Bros. Discovery, ESPN, to see what they're up to, NBC Universal to see what they're up to. And I also check out PR Newswire and Business Wire, which present press releases from all over the place, from every different subject you can think of, and they have their own websites, and they update them on a regular basis, certainly on a daily basis. I also, down the stretch after every day, around 4 o'clock, I check websites like TVNewsCheck.com for story ideas. And I also check in with Zartum, which is the wonderful Facebook page that's run by public relations officials and executives. So sometimes Facebook will get me an idea. For example, there's an idea that led to getting a guest for one of our shows next Friday, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. So there are plenty of sources that I use to get guests on this program. And basically, it's a matter of being in constant conversation with the public relations reps, sometimes with the guests themselves, to make sure that they have an opportunity to come on, getting them an invite, and then to follow up with them if they don't check back like within 24, 48 hours. So I always make sure we are in constant communication. And once we confirm the guest, we make sure that for example, for a Friday guest or guests, we make sure we give them the instructions about how they dial into the program, when they are on the show. Usually if it's a Friday situation, it's on Tuesdays. If it's a Monday show, it's on Thursdays. If it's a Wednesday show, it's Fridays. So they know beforehand when they will be on the air. They also sometimes know the dial-in process. Incidentally, you should know that we never, ever give specific questions to guests in advance. I know sometimes we get called for it, we get inquired about it, and I always say that because of a personal policy and a professional policy, I never forward specific questions to guests in advance. I will sometimes give them topics, general topics of what we're dealing with, but no specific questions. And that's in order to make sure that the dialogue we have is as topical, takes advantage of breaking news situations if need be, and it's able to go in all sorts of different directions, as we just did with Matt Fleckenstein from Best Foot Forward. Another question that I get asked a lot is, do you pay for guests, or do guests pay to be on your program? And I have to say, this is a topic that not only I deal with, but a lot of radio show hosts deal with, whether it is on a broadcast station, a radio station, commercial, satellite, public radio, podcast, et cetera, et cetera. And when I check into Zardom, this also comes up. So I want to assure all of you in one shot, we never have, never will charge for a guest to be on this program. We appreciate the fact that when we invite a guest to be on, someone to be on, it's their time that they're taking into account and that they are spending some of our time with us, and that includes you, our audience. We never, again, have charged guests to be on this program, and we never will. And I want to tell you that that is the policy of most reputable radio programs. Most reputable programs on commercial radio, satellite radio, local radio, public radio, ham radio, podcast, etc. Guests are not charged for being on programming. I find the practice of charging guests, frankly, despicable. And again, we will never, ever do that policy. At the same time, we also do not pay for guests to be on this program. And again, that is a practice of most popular, most well-known internet-distributed, radio-distributed programs. They do not pay for guests to be on the program. The one exception is if that guest is recurring and has a regular role in the program as a commentator or observer or reviewer. That sometimes may require a fee, but never for one shot, never for one shots, and never the standard policy. We do not pay for guests on this program, and I'm happy that that situation has not been brought up. And I credit all the public relations people I work with for not bringing that subject up. Another question that I get asked a lot is, what's your favorite topic? Of all the TV issues, developments that you've dealt with over the last 15 years, what's your favorite topic? I have two. One is diversity, which is a topic that we have explored in all sorts of ways from the get-go. One of the standing credos of this program is that it is a vehicle to showcase how diversity has expanded in this medium. I've said before many times, I'll say it again, we are headed toward a society where the majority population will be people of color. It's happening faster than we think for a lot of different factors. Initially, some futurists had said 2050, by 2050 it'll happen. Some said by 2040. It may be before 2030, before the end of this decade. Based, again, all sorts of factors. So I've always thought it's critical that we showcase how diversity is stepping up in television. And we also make it very clear that there is no silver bullet to expanding diversity. Because of the nature of this medium, it has to be done on all sorts of levels. The show level, the network level or programming service level, the production company level, the talent pool level, the technology level, and so on and so forth. And one of my favorite things has been to showcase diversity, not just in terms of people of color, whether it's African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, Native Americans, etc. It's also, as you just heard, the disability community, the gay and lesbian community, the transgender community. And we do it without being woke. I think one of the worst things that's happened in this world has been the advent of wokeism and critical race theory. The one thing we don't need in this country right now or in this world right now is for people to hate each other and put themselves down or to put them in boxes of oppressor and oppressed. It doesn't do anybody any good, and it doesn't forward the medium, and it doesn't forward the conversation. And I'm very thrilled that over, particularly this year, we have seen more and more examples of diversity organically happening on all sorts of levels. And one of the reasons why is another one of my favorite topics, which is the rise of smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles. Because these ventures can expand their capability and their capacity for all sorts of services electronically, we have seen in the last couple of years an explosion, a really volcanic explosion of new programming services, many of which are either aimed at people of color or different communities, or having people of color at the helm, or having or accepting programming produced by people of color or the disabled community or the gay and lesbian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's been so fantastic to see. And I'm thrilled that over particularly the last couple of years, we have had many of these programming services on this program. And we've also showcased interactivity of late, interactive fitness services, including an executive from Peloton, and recently the growing effort of telehealth on television with services like MedSign, Quill Health, and Independa. So my two favorite topics, diversity and how it's expanding, and smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles, and how they have really brought forward a new panoply of or community, a new multitude of programming services. And we're not done yet with that. The other question I want to address, and I get it from time to time, is are there any programming services, are there any sources of programming or content that you would like to feature more on this program, on your program? Well, one of them you heard from today, Apple TV Plus. I have talked a couple of episodes ago. I talked about the fact that Apple TV Plus has been very, very difficult to have on this program because when we do get them, it's through outside agencies. We don't get them normally through Apple TV Plus's public relations people. And that is because, not because of them, some of whom I know and they're really great people, but because of Apple's PR management, which for some reason seems to want to be on the assumption of, well, we don't want to showcase our creators, our talent on shows like this or through the media. I'm happy to say that Best Foot Forward is hopefully a groundbreaking exception because an Apple TV Plus public relations person was involved in having Max Fleckenstein on the last half hour. So I want to be very clear. I definitely want to work with Apple TV Plus. I definitely want to carry as many of their shows. They are really on a hot streak with shows like Severance and Ted Lasso and Schmigadoon and Mosquito Coast. And we've had For All Mankind on again. It was done through an outside player. Little America, which is getting ready for its second season, we would love to have on. I think it's the best anthology, one of the best anthology shows to come along in years. I wish it won the Peabody Award last year or this year. And Apple TV Plus Foundation, another show we would love to have on, The Morning Show. I talked a number of years ago to Carrie Aaron, who is the executive of that program. She would like to come on the program. I really hope that what we did today with Best Foot Forward starts the ball rolling on an ongoing greater relationship with Apple TV Plus's management so that we can get more and more of these shows on our program. We want the creators, in some cases the major talent. I would love to have Reese Witherspoon on, Jennifer Aniston on. I'd love to have Jason Momoa from C, which is going to be launching its third and final season next month. Jonathan Tropper, who has been on the show before when he did Banshee for and other shows for Cinemax. We'd love to have him on. He's the executive producer showrunner of the C. We want them on. And I'm sure in the heart of hearts, the producers who have been on this program before who are with Apple TV Plus shows now would love to be back on too. So I hope that what happened today with Best Foot Forward will bring Apple TV Plus management's Best Foot Forward to come on the program. Two other networks that I would like to feature more are FX and Food Network. John Landgraf, the president of FX, was on our first Blog Talk Radio show back in May of 2009 with Peter Tolan, the co-creator with Dennis Leary of Rescue Me. And over the years, we've had people with some of their best shows on. The Americans, mentioned Rescue Me, The Shield, The Bridge, a lot of good people. Justified, Graham Yost, who, by the way, will be back with the new Justified sequel series, is now in production. He's been on. And in the last 2 years or so, we have not had a lot of FX people on. I would have loved to have had the folks from Pose, Posse Vernon, What We Do in the Shadows, Reservation Dogs, which will be starting its second season on the air next month. I don't know why we're not getting them. I'd love to have John Landgraf back on the program. To me, I think he's one of the best promo executives around. He's one of the most perceptive people around. We've had him on the show. We've had him twice. He's always been great. I'm in touch regularly with FX's PR people. They have great people like Lana Kim and John Stoneberg and Jesse Heistand and Rosalind Bibby. I really hope – I don't know why we're having this streak of not having FX people on. I hope we bring that to a conclusion as they introduce more shows the rest of this year and beyond. Oh, we've had Noah Hawley from Fargo. So we've had a good relationship with FX over the years. I don't know why we've had this streak of not having them on of the last couple of years. So we're going to keep trying. And I hope that just like with Apple TV Plus today, that maybe we can very soon bring FX shows back on the air on a regular basis on this program. I know you would like to hear them too. And when it comes to Food Network, same situation. We've had a very good relationship PR-wise with Food Network over the years. Over the years, we have had guests from such shows as The Great Food Truck Race, which is now in its latest season. Tom Foreman, who's the original executive producer of that program, was on the show. We've had people from Chopped. We've had people from other Food Network series. Mark Summers from Restaurant, when he was doing Restaurant Impossible with Robert Irvine, executive producing that program, was on. Again, in the last couple of years, zip. I am a big Food Network fan. Let me disclose that off the bat. I am a huge Food Network fan. I love some of the directions they've gone in recent years with shows like Beat Bobby Flay, Supermarket Steakout, Alex in America, the latest show, Me or the Menu, a very different kind of show about the food world. And they've got some more new shows in the hopper that are being carried either on Food Network or Food Network Discovery Plus. We would love to have them. So I hope that down the road again, we can get Food Network back on a regular basis. All right. And by the way, if you have any questions about our show or about the world of television, let me tell you what to do. Go to our webpage, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised-onpodium.com. And down at the bottom of the screen, there's a question placeholder. I'll put the question in, and if we use it on the air, you get the credit, okay? So anytime you like, pop a question about yours truly, about any TV topic you like, about a past guest or topic. You know, let's hear from you. Let's be in communication. We really appreciate it. Two other things I want to get into before we wrap things up today. First of all, over the weekend, Bob Rixson passed away. The filmmaker behind such classics as Five Easy Pieces, King of Marvin Gardens. He was also the co-creator with Bert Schneider of the Monkees. He passed away before the weekend. I'm happy to say that Nikki Dolenz, who is the surviving member of the Monkees, got a communication to him before he passed away, and he got it. Rapleson was as talented and as groundbreaking a film director as there was in the 1970s. He also directed the Monkees' only movie, which came after their two-year series on NBC ended, Head. I think Tanner Classic Movies does run that film every so often. So I hope it'll come back on again. And finally, last night in Newport, Rhode Island, an incredible music moment happened. The Newport Folk Festival has been on for decades. It used to be the Jazz Festival. It's one of the great music festivals anywhere, any part of the world. And Brandi Carlile, formerly the Go-Go's, did a special set that wrapped up the festival. And lo and behold, there, in a very rare appearance, was Joni Mitchell. Joni, as you know, you may know, had a brain aneurysm in 2015. She has been fighting every step of the way to regain as much of her facilities as possible. And she was there to do a set with some of her best songs, including Both Sides Now, The Circle Game, Big Yellow Taxi, et cetera, et cetera. She was joined by Wyona and other celebrities there. I had a chance in the last hour to see the Both Sides Now clip from last night. It will take your breath away, and it will make you cry, The Kingdom Come. To see Joni, and she is, I'll let you be the judge. And her voice is nowhere near what it was in her big time in the late 60s and 70s. The fact that she can still sing, the fact that she still can bring power to songs like Both Sides Now, it will make your heart cry. I just hope that somebody take the whole set with Mitchell and Brandi Carlile and Wynonna and make it a television special somewhere, whether on commercial television, public television, make a content service somewhere. I know the clip is on YouTube. Please see it if you can. And I hope somebody take the whole thing so that we can all enjoy it some way, somehow down the road. Again, thank you to Matt for being with us today. Thank all of you for tuning in. Our next episode, Wonderful Hour, coming your way on Wednesday. We'll focus on the new streaming service, Black Oak TV. It's trying to become a Netflix for African-American talent. We'll have the founder, Uzo Metu, who'll be our lead guest. And from the new INSP television series, about to start second season this week, Wild West Chronicles, executive producer Gary Tamminian. And we'll have another episode for you as well on Friday. And then 1 week from today, our special 50th anniversary celebration, two great guests. First hour, Amy Winter, executive vice president, head of programming at Lifetime Television. Second hour, general manager at Topic, Ryan Tenatri. Be with us. Tell your friends. It's going to be a very special Monday. And remember the special time, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern, noon to 2 p.m. Pacific. Came in late on today's program. Want to catch up an episode you missed? Go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 at all our podcast destinations, including Google Podcasts at podcastgoogle.com, Amazon Music, including Vizio Smart TV sets, and many, many others. And, of course, our website, that's tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. What do you got to show today? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going as we go from year 15 to year 16 in this program? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter on social media. Wherever you get us and communicate with us, we respond to your communication within 24 hours. That's our commitment to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Annie Toad, BeatStars General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free one-month trial, free book or two, and the opportunity, if you decide to subscribe, to get your first 3 months free for you or someone you love, audibletrial.com, televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. We're back on Wednesday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, all of our podcast affiliates, and our website. Whatever you're doing to you now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Take it easy if you're still in the heat situation around the country. And if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor. Check up on your medical situation. Find out and do your due diligence on all the situations regarding vaccine boosters and treatments like the Merck and Pfizer pills. And then make a great choice and have it be your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.